Good morning, and welcome to a very different type of Sunday service. Already that's very strange because I've said good morning and I haven't heard good morning back, but I hope you're saying good morning to me wherever you're listening. I've no way of knowing how many of you are listening, but please let me know later if you are with us. We're taking baby steps in terms of our technology, but we hope to scale that up as time goes on. Please help us to stay in touch by making sure we have your mobile number and your email. You can do this by going to contact.railwaystreet.org. The more details we have, the more effective our congregational communication will be. Please copy and print and share any email with those who don't have access to email. Keep looking in on our Facebook page and please spread the word. We will be updating it regularly with news and resources. Copies of the leaflet offering help to those self-isolating were attached in the email sent out on Thursday and are also available from the manse, along with copies of John's Gospel, and from the middle of this week we hope to have CDs for those who cannot listen online. If you are available to practically assist those who may be self-isolating, then please contact us through our Facebook page or getting in touch with me directly. If anyone needs help, then email hello@railwaystreet.org or call 07403523526. 07403523526 with any requests. Keep in touch with each other. Text and social media is good, but there's no substitute for the old-fashioned telephone call, which enables others to hear a human voice. For some of our senior members, this will be their primary means of staying in contact with others. We're going to join together now to worship God, and as we do that, Stephen is going to read for us a couple of verses.
Let us pray. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and take heart, and wait for the Lord."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for welcoming us with our anxious hearts and legitimate concerns. Pray more and worry less isn't a formula. It's our freedom. You know our needs better than we do. But here's a few current needs that we have. By the power of your Spirit, we want to be more worshipful than worried, more settled by your sovereignty than vexed by this virus, more praiseful than paranoid about the next cough or sneeze. We pray for healthcare workers, research scientists, and those most vulnerable to the coronavirus. We pray churches will actually thrive during this social distancing season, that the gospel will become precious to those suddenly alive to their own mortality. We thank you for what you've already done for us. You've given Jesus to us and for us. He is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption, our active advocate and ruling King, and a whole lot more. Supersize our experience of your peace, Father. We don't have to understand everything. Your timing is better than a Swiss watch, and your faithfulness is greater than we realize. As we savor our life in Jesus Christ, guard our fickle, wandering, impatient hearts. We set our mind, affections, and gaze upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, our merciful Saviour and mighty Lord, the fountain of grace and ground of all hope. So very amen, we pray, in his tender and triumphant name. We're going to read together from Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 42, and Emily's going to read that for us.
"You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, Even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
Thank you, Emily, and we thank God for this reading from his word. Friends, it's been a strange week. I don't remember anything quite like it. Interesting times indeed. I had a feeling as I looked around our congregation on Sunday morning last, as we finished by singing In Christ Alone, that this would be the last Sunday we would be doing this for the foreseeable future. And I'll be honest, my eyes filled up. But I've got to say, I was greatly encouraged by how many came out that morning, and I felt the presence of God very powerfully among us. Then on Sunday evening, we doubled our normal Sunday evening numbers. Paddy Hunter is a very popular guy, I knew that. But I think it was also the case that some of us sensed this would be the last opportunity to meet together for worship for some time. And we weren't wrong. It became clear on Monday evening that the Prime Minister's advice to avoid social gatherings also included faith communities. And by Tuesday afternoon, the email came from PCI strongly urging all congregations to cease all activities until further notice. But through the use of technology, we want to continue to worship together as best we can. And we're going to continue making our way through the remaining chapters of Mark's Gospel. And as we go through what may be dark and difficult days, we remember the dark and difficult journey that the Lord Jesus went through on the way to the cross. There is, I believe, help and instruction to be found here for his disciples in the present. But above all, as we accompany Jesus on his dark journey, we have the encouragement of knowing how the story ends, with the dawn of Easter morning and the rising of the sun. It tells us that our story ends happily ever after for Jesus and for those who belong to him. Last Sunday, we saw how despite the gathering storm all around Jesus, he remains fully in control of events, just as he continues to be in control in our present circumstances. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles at Mark chapter 14, as we make our way with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane. That means you need to hit pause for a moment while you go and get your Bible, then that's fine by me. Please do that. Welcome back. I want you to see the first encouraging thing to note is that though Jesus is speaking about the denial of Peter and the flight of the rest of the disciples, The fact that Jesus again speaks about these things in advance, just as he did in the upper room when he was talking about his betrayal, reminds us that once more that he is still in control. As we saw last week, the Lord has it covered. All this has been foreseen and divinely ordained and is a fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus is in control. Just 2 points for you this morning from our passage. First of all, this: faith stumbles when we fail to remember God's promises. Faith stumbles when we fail to remember God's promises. Jesus has said that the disciples' faith will stumble because of all that will happen to Jesus and because they did not remember his words to them. Remember, Jesus had told them several times about what must happen. He had tried to prepare them for this. And as they make their way to the garden, he says to them, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." The darkness is deepening. The time of Jesus' suffering is at hand. And yet there is a little chink of light. There is still hope in these words that Jesus speaks. The suffering that Jesus had tried to tell them about in advance will not be the end, because in verse 28, he tells them clearly, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Even in the midst of the darkness, there is light to be found. And on the cross, Jesus will cry out, "It is finished." And on the third day, there will be the dawn of new morning as the angels proclaim, "Christ is risen." Yet sadly, the disciples' minds and hearts were unable to retain his words, because 3 days later they did not believe those first reports of his resurrection. But consider this, had they listened to his words and believed it, they would have saved themselves a great deal of anxiety. Friends, faith stumbles when we fail to remember God's promises. We need to hold on to faith and hope in these days. There seems to be nothing but bad news all around, and yet there is still chinks of light to be found. There is always light for the believer that shines in the midst of the darkness. And we need in such a time as this to ensure that we focus on the promises that God gives us in his word. Because in those promises we find comfort and strength and hope. We spend as much time in our Bibles reminding ourselves of God's promises as we're spending watching the news and scrolling through social media posts. We could save ourselves a great deal of anxiety. After you finish listening to me, could I encourage you to follow the link on our Facebook page and read the article that is linked there by David Robertson, 3 Bible Passages to Replace Fear of Coronavirus with Hope in God. Faith stumbles when we fail to remember God's promises. But secondly, here we see faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. Faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. Here in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see something of the extraordinary struggle that the Lord Jesus faced as he looked towards the cross. He took Peter, James, and John further into the garden with him, and then he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. And the words "deeply distressed" bear the element of astonishment. As one commentator puts it, terrified surprise. Jesus, of course, knew that the cross was coming, but as he looked into the cup he must drink that night, he was astonished and overcome with horror. No human being, however great his or her anguish, has ever experienced anything like this. And Mark, in his account, takes us even further into this terror-filled mystery. Because we read in verse 35, going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Three times he repeatedly asked his Father that, if possible, the cup, a metaphor for his suffering and death, if possible, the cup might be avoided. His prayer was not to do something other than his Father's will, but he did pray that if there was a possibility of fulfilling his mission without the cross, then he would like to go for that. Why did it hold so much terror? It was not just that his death would involve crucifixion, the most painful, degrading, and long-drawn-out method of execution the Romans could devise. But it was the awareness of the even greater unseen spiritual suffering he would endure. This cup would be full of our sin. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame. It was a cup full of wrath. As sin-bearer, he became the object of the Father's wrath against sin. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And the drinking of this cup of suffering also brought a curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Is it any wonder that when we see the blood-like sweat and the tears and hear him crying out for deliverance, as a man Christ cried for escape, but he desired to do his Father's will even more. So in spite of all his anguish, there was unconditional submission. Doing the Father's will had been his supreme concern throughout his earthly life, right back to when, as a young boy, his parents found him in the temple, where he said to them, "Didn't you know I would have to be in my Father's house?" Following his Father's will had always been his desire, and he wasn't going to stop now. Yet not as I will, but what you will. This is a summary of the earthly life of obedience of Jesus. Jesus was not a helpless victim. He was a faithful servant who determined to continue his long obedience in the same direction, towards God's will. Three times, Mark tells us, he prayed about the same matter, and each time he yielded to the Father's will in loving surrender. Faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. The writer of Hebrews has this to say. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. Stay here and keep watch, Jesus said to Peter and James and John in verse 34. He wanted them to observe his struggle. And if they'd been watching closely, and if they'd entered prayer like this, then they too might have found the strength necessary for their faith to persevere, to make it through what was coming. They did watch for a little while, but then shamefully they dozed off. "Stay here and keep watch," Jesus said to them. They were warned in vain, for they failed to take the only steps which could have saved them from falling. Earnest prayer and continual watchfulness. Alan Cole says this: "Such prayer is a confession of the weakness of our flesh and a showing forth of the readiness of our spirit, joined with a realization of the power of God to whom we pray." Friends, we need to devote ourselves to such prayer and watchfulness in our current situation if we are to be a positive witness for Christ during this time. We cannot afford as individuals or as a church to simply try and sleep through this current crisis. People need us. The Lord Jesus is relying on us. Jesus, who steeled himself in prayer, submitted to his Father's will and persevered in following the road marked out for him. He said in verse 41, "The hour has come." And he went on to face what was coming, to drink that cup until it was empty, and through that to win the greatest victory ever won. Faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. Make no mistake, it was a real struggle that Jesus faced in Gethsemane. And we each face our own Gethsemanes on the road of Christian discipleship. Kent Hughes says, "Gethsemanes are the inevitable lot of those who follow Christ. We must embrace this truth. But there is a steeling available for all who go through the inevitable Gethsemanes. It comes from dependent prayer. Such prayer sometimes delivers us from our Gethsemanes, but more often through them." A couple of weeks ago, I spoke about Pastor Abdallah, a Christian pastor in the Syrian city of Aleppo. Despite death threats to him and his family, Pastor Abdallah bravely chose to stay in Syria and has turned his church into a centre of hope for his community. He and his wife, along with their 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son, had the opportunity to leave Syria at the start of the war. But together they made it their mission to stay and to continue supporting their congregation in Aleppo. With the support of Open Doors, Pastor Abdallah provides much needed relief and medical care to those in need. He oversees trauma care and assistance to the community for rebuilding their homes and their livelihoods. He says this: "The Spirit of God gave us strength to stay in Aleppo throughout the war. The Spirit of God drives me to keep serving the church here." This was Abdallah's Gethsemane. He could have avoided the conflict and destruction in Aleppo, but he accepted it was God's will for him and his family to stay and continue to serve their people. Friends, maybe the coronavirus pandemic is our Gethsemane at the present time. Maybe it's another personal struggle that we're going through alongside that. And like Jesus, if we could, we would like to escape it. We would prefer to go back to the nice, comfortable lives that we knew just a couple of weeks ago. But we may have to accept that this is God's will for us and God's will for our nation. To understand and recognize it as part of his sovereign plan. And it looks at the moment like he will not deliver us from this Gethsemane. But if we trust in him, if our faith perseveres and we give ourselves to prayer, he will certainly bring us through this Gethsemane. Faith perseveres, when we surrender to God's will. Maybe we need to say to God, as Jesus did, "Your will, not mine, be done." And having said that, to look and to see how we can serve God's purposes at this time. There is a great opportunity here for us as a congregation to follow Christ and to serve our community through this crisis. There is a great opportunity for God to work in this, to draw people to himself through the witness of his disciples. And though it may be painful in the present and in the coming weeks, we can be sure as we wait for the Lord that we will see the goodness of the Lord, that there is good that he can and will bring from this in the future. Faith stumbles when we forget the promises of God's word. Faith perseveres when we surrender to God's will. Let's pray together. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn. Yet not my will, but yours, he said. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as daily offerings of worship to the servant king. Lord, may we at this time follow Jesus and seek to serve our community. May our knowledge of and our trust in the promises of your word prevent our faith from stumbling. And may our faith persevere as we submit ourselves to your will, just as Jesus did. God of life, you have promised to be with us every day, also in difficult days, in times like these. Give us clarity in our minds, strength in our work and discernment, rest as we sleep, peace in our minds. Be with those who need help more than we do ourselves, and help us to see what we can offer from your love. And though I can't look up and see you today, I invite you to say the words with me. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore. Amen.